Absolutely. Well, let's start things off with Hebrews 9, verse 1. The Bible says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary." So let's talk about that first, these first two verses here. It starts off explaining that the first covenant had ordinances of divine service. Then it gets into the tabernacle made, the first, and like I said, which contained the candlestick, the table, the showbread. How would you interpret these first two verses? What's this talking about?
Well, what it's saying in verse one, it says, "Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine services and a worldly sanctuary." So in the Old Testament, in the first covenant, they had a tabernacle, they had a tent. And inside that tent was the candlestick and the table and the showbread. But that tent is called the tabernacle, or it's called the sanctuary. But also had ordinances of divine services. So there were certain ordinances, certain services that they were supposed to do inside the tent or inside the tabernacle, which the priest would be doing. Basically, pretty much, he would be doing burnt offerings, he would be doing meat offerings, drink offerings. He would be doing these services inside the first tabernacle. Now, in verse 2, it says, "For there was a tabernacle made, the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary." You know, in the New Testament, the New Covenant, there's no more a worldly sanctuary because God dwells in his people. So in the first tabernacle, those are pretty cool pictures, because if you see in verse 2, it says, "For there was a tabernacle made." Now, if you think of the New Covenant, you know, God's not enough a worldly tabernacle, but he's in our tabernacle. He's inside our body. So
right.
There's a couple of scriptures to kind of show you that our body, our temple, you know, is a tabernacle. I'll just show you a quick one real fast. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, "I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth." It says in verse 13, it says, "Yeah, I think in me, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath shown me." So Peter, he's saying that this is his tabernacle, and one day he's going to put off his tabernacle. So in the first covenant, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was kind of just like a picture of what God was going to do in the new covenant. Because the Bible said that these things were just symbolisms, and it was just pictures, it was just figures of things to come, right? But the first tabernacle, which is pretty cool if you think about it, it says that it had a candlestick. Now, the candlestick, it has seven lamps, right? So the way I interpret the seven lamps, if you go to Revelation chapter 4, I picture it as the Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God.
Numbers 8, just to prove what you're saying, it says in verse 1, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron, and say unto him, When thou lightest the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light over against the candlestick." And so there are seven lamps attached to the candlestick, exactly what you were saying. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, and those lights in the candlestick, in the tabernacle, they had to be always lit, right? And it was kind of a picture, and they had the oil in them. So it had a picture that in us believers, that we have the candlestick in our tabernacle always lit. Once we're saved, we're always saved, have eternal life. And just to add to that, it says in Revelation 4 or 5, it says, "Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God." So you see that God has the seven spirits, you know, the Holy Spirit, you know, has seven spirits. And the Bible says that inside that candlestick was the seven lamps. So you kind of look at it as in our tabernacle, we have, you know, one of the spirits inside of us. You know that Jesus Christ had all seven spirits. He had all the spirits. The God gave him out the spirit by measure. Opposed to us, you know, we have a certain gift of the Spirit. You know, certain people have more, some people have less. That's why we're not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, because God gives us all a certain measure. But also says in the table and the showbread. So I think it's pretty interesting, because I believe the table kind of pictures our heart, right? And let me just give you a scripture kind of back it up. So if you go to Proverbs chapter 3, it says, verse 1.
Real quick, while you're getting to that scripture, I just wanted to make this point about how you're right, that God did not give the Spirit by measure unto Jesus Christ, but he did for every one of them. Now, here's what I believe that's basically saying.
What is that?
a regular person has the Spirit by measure in the sense that you could be filled with the Spirit or not. Now, obviously, you always have the Holy Spirit and you will be sealed until the day of redemption. But it's possible for you as a saved Christian not to necessarily be filled with the Spirit at all times.
Yeah.
Whereas with Jesus Christ, God didn't give him the Spirit by measure. He's always completely filled.
Yeah, I mean, to add to that too, it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace of God given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So the Bible teaches that God had dealt to every one of us a certain measure of faith, but to Jesus, he didn't give a certain measure. It says in John chapter 3, it says in verse 34.
God hath sent, speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
That's right. So yeah, so Jesus Christ, he had the whole entire deal, you know, but us, we have a certain measure of the Spirit. Now, inside that tabernacle, obviously, there was a table, the candlestick, and the showbread. Now, what I think was cool, when we were talking about this the other night, about the table, we kind of represent the table as our heart, right? Now, in Proverbs chapter 3, it said, "Let not mercy and truth," in verse 3, "forsake thee, bind them upon thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart." Now, he's saying that we need to write God's laws, God's word, upon the table of our hearts. Now, why is it, and this is the reason why I think it's so important to memorize scriptures. Because it tells us in verse 4 why he wants us to bind them upon the table of our heart. It says, "So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." So when you memorize a chapter of the Bible, it's going to give you good understanding inside that chapter, opposed to you just reading it once and then, you know, you don't read it again until whenever you get to it in your Bible reading. But when you memorize that chapter, that whole chapter is in your heart, is upon your table, and therefore, you know, you could have the whole word, you have that chapter and remember it easily.
Absolutely right.
Also, I want to show this other one too. In 2 Corinthians 3, it talks about, in verse 2, it says, "Ye are our epistles written in our hearts, known and read of all men." So we have the word of God in our hearts. We basically have the epistle in our hearts. And it says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistles of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." So it goes to show that the table, that we have fleshly table, right? And God's word is on the tables of our heart. So the showbread just represents God's word. Because the Bible said that man don't live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And they had to have the fresh showbread every single day upon that table, which is picturing us having to have that bread upon our hearts every single day. We need to read the word every single day, you know. We need to, you know, ask for that daily provision every day.
Right. And another thing, just to add to what you were saying, when it comes to the showbread representing the word of God, is we know Jesus is the word of God, right?
Yeah.
And Jesus says about himself in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life." And he says, "He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." So Jesus, as the word of God, calls himself the bread of life. And of course, like you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so I see the same thing you see there, that the tabernacle contained, the first tabernacle contained a candlestick with seven lamps, which represent the seven spirits of God, a table, which represents your heart, and the showbread on which the showbread which lays on the table, which symbolizes the word of God and how the word of God should be on our heart.